folks. How you doing? So, welcome once again, and as always, to the It's Not All About Me podcast, a podcast featuring a guy with Emmy and a mic, and apparently a slow to start vibe this morning as well. Okay, we'll see if we can pick that up, but you know, it's slow, but I'm far too lazy. Is that the word we're gonna go for? One has to be careful when we're doing a show on chronic illness such as Emmy to use the word lazy, but you know, I'm an honest person, you know that. It's laziness not to re-record this intro, and we're in it now, so let's see what happens. So show featuring a guy with Emmy and a mic, and that's me, Paddy. You're very welcome. You know, start as we always begin with the thank yous. Last show, wow, some time ago, we'll get on to that in a second. Last show, we had part one of two visits with the Hennebery family, virtual visits, obviously, in this, whether it was this time or any other time, it would still be a virtual visit, given that I'm not particularly able to be driving around even this island, let alone any other islands, to chat to folks as much as I would like to, you know, one day perhaps, but not this week. So we had a chat with Sean and Niamh Hennebery last week. One family, four kids with ME, and I can't thank those guys enough. It was you've heard it. It was brilliant, right? If you haven't heard it, you know, stop this. You're already probably with this absolute rambling, stuttery intro hovering over the delete button as it is, you know, before you do that, go back and listen to that one. It was a really good show. I had my you-know-what together. This is the problem. Have a coffee. Sit back, have a coffee. Let's just take a second here. Okay. That's good. Black coffee today. Slimming World Diets began again. So the Henneberries, that was just such an amazing chat, those guys, and I can see clearly that it resonated out there in the world with you guys, because I see that a massive amount of people listened to that show, and I'm very grateful, very happy that you did, because it was a pretty remarkable story those guys had. And it's only part one. Part two, with youngest sibling Eilish and mum Sinead, coming up the next show after this one, I hope. Again, as I think I mentioned at the end of the last show, this isn't some kind of magic podcastery where I chatted to them all in one day, because I have ME. That wouldn't have worked. And so do they. So that wouldn't have worked. So I am yet to record that show. I'll hopefully be recording it as soon as I'm finished editing this one. But still, if you have any questions or comments or whatever that you'd like kind of maybe to put to Sinead, Mum, then let me know on Twitter at @0allaboutme, or on email, it's reallynotallaboutme@gmail.com. So that takes us through that business. Thanks again, Sean. Thanks again, Niamh. I hope you're doing well in this lockdown. And so last show, I opened the show by saying I'll talk more about this again, but I'm not going to release shows. I'm not going to say it'll be out every 2 weeks or every, you know, Monday, 8 a.m. every 2 weeks or whatever. And I had a good reason for that. And I did say then that this doesn't mean it'll be more infrequent. In fact, there's a good chance it could be more frequent, and then took a month and a half off. That was not deliberate. I had actually hoped to be releasing shows far more frequently than every 2 weeks, but just on my own time. And again, we'll get round to thinking about why we would not have a strict schedule. But I think after the last one, I got ill. I had a crash with the ME, so I was in bed. And then, sadly, my father-in-law died. Not coronavirus, you know, old-fashioned death, the way people used to die in the olden days. But that was really sad. I liked him a lot. He was a good friend. So, you know, we had that to deal with. So I took 2 weeks off from everything. Now we're back. And for me now, it's a Monday morning and I've got my coffee here. I'm ready to chat. Whether, and I'm sure it was inspired by losing Maggie's dad. I had last week, in part inspired, I would say, because I'm sure there's always an opportunity for me to indulge in quite a bit of self-pity, which I try not to do. But I felt kind of down last week. There's been a lot of talk in the news and everywhere, rightly so, about, you know, during this lockdown when we're all isolated, we're all separated, about mental health and well-being. And that's something that, you know, I'm grateful to generally be able to practice a good mental health and well-being. You know, I think if you listen to the show for any length of time, you probably figured out I'm, you know, I'm fairly positive guy, and able to reconcile challenges in a positive way most of the time fairly quickly. Last week though, I was down. I wasn't feeling great. You know, obviously, father-in-law had just died, and that was a difficult time for the family. I was obviously, that required dealing with that, required an awful lot of energy that I don't have spare. And also, something that really hit me last week, someone I used to know, someone I used to work with, who I admire greatly, got in touch with me and out of the blue and sent me a link to this show and said, "Hey, is this you?" And I said, "Yeah, that's my little show, you know, where'd you find it and all this?" And she said, "You know, oh, I've just been diagnosed with ME. And that hit me really hard. I found it very heartbreaking. I have people on the show all the time with ME. I had a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old on the show just last week. But I find this particularly difficult because this person who I used to work with, I kind of really admired her. And I worked with her in the last kind of proper work I did, non-kind of part-time, non-contract work. Self-employed work. I worked with her in my last proper job, you know, full-time job. And I was kind of getting too sick to be able to carry on the job, and she was coming up. And, you know, it was just one of those people you meet and you're like, you know what, you're going to go places. I don't have sufficient energy to be nuanced or any more sophisticated than to say, you know, she kind of reminded me of me, and that sounds awful because I'm about to, you know, put her over, and in so doing, I guess, you know, big up myself. But you know, she was ambitious, she was smart, she was, you know, she just had a really good eye on the world. You know, she could challenge, she knew her mind, but was open to self-improvement and investigation. And I just kind of, as I was getting more ill and knowing I could no longer continue, you know, I'd had to actually make the decision. It was the first proper time with informed about my illness. I had to make the decision. I have to stop work, you know. And I kind of, you would look at this person and be like, well, you know, there'll be people carrying on the good work out there in the world. Again, I know how arrogant all this sounds. You'll have to forgive me. But I'm just using this example to say, you know, I admired this person very much. And, you know, whenever you're just, it's exciting to be around someone because you get the energy off them that, you know, it's like, oh, this is, you know, yeah, yeah, this is a good team to be in. This is a good place to be. So this person who, you know, got in touch with me then said, oh, I've got ME. It was really heartbreaking. Because, you know, this is not a good illness to have. And I try and be positive in this show. I try my best to end each show with a kind of uplifting positive note or a way of looking at what we've discussed and saying, you know, there's reason for hope. But it's called a chronic illness because, you know, that means time. Time will be spent. It could be a short period of time, you know, if you're lucky. Or you have good doctors or something happens. Or, you know, it could be a long period of time. As we know, we've had people on this show who have missed their kids' childhood. You know, who've missed the best years of their life. And are still missing it. And another Emmy Awareness Week day passed us by there a week ago, and I spent mine in bed sick. That didn't feel good. Another year, it's like kind of a marker, it's our anniversary, isn't it? And I think naturally whenever one has an anniversary, one thinks, well, what's changed in the year? And I mean, obviously, a lot has changed for me. You know, I've had a kid and all that. But health-wise, you know, it's a carbon copy. It's a photocopy. It's a very boring flick book where not much happens. So to spend ME Awareness Day in bed, kind of got me down last week, combined with my father-in-law dying, combined with finding out this person I admired very much, who, you know, was destined to change the world and may well do and will do. I'm absolutely sure of that in her own way. But in the moment, all these combined to kind of get me down a little bit last week. It wasn't nice. And I started thinking about the loneliness of this illness. Because, and again, I'm trying to, I guess I was thinking about, well, this person's just got diagnosed. What's the next few weeks? What's the next few months? What's the next, you know, hopefully not, but few years look like? And it's a lonely old illness. Everybody in the world at the moment is experiencing a new degree of loneliness through isolating and social distancing. And that's not something new for people with chronic illness such as ME. It's not new for me. I'm very grateful to say that I have a loving family around me. Immediately, I have Maggie, who, you know, has been on this show. She's fabulous. And now I have little Beckett, you know, who's a comfort in all times. The thing is, when one has a chronic illness, and I'm not expecting or demanding sympathy from anybody. I'm really not. People have their own worlds, their own lives going on. You know, I mean, you can see there was a little bit of self-pity here last week because of what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about these feelings while, you know, Maggie had just buried her father. So this is a little self-indulgent as well, I think. I recognize that. I'm trying to go back to how I felt last week. I don't feel this way today. You know, I feel good today. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you. I'd probably be, you know, wallowing. But I'm not looking for sympathy. and people give sympathy. People are like, you know, oh, that's, you know, you're having a bad day if you've had a crash. You know, we've talked about it before. Friends are always asking, how are you? How are you doing? How's your health? And they're offering to do things for you. And, you know, I have a chronic illness. And I live in Ireland, in the north of Ireland. I'm in receipt of benefits, right? But I couldn't live the life I live if I didn't have Maggie, you know, working even during this, lockdown. She's working from home. And she, you know, the house I live in, the clothes I'm wearing, the food I'm eating, you know, it all comes from her income. Mine is, you know, it's not that much for me. It's not that much, you know. If I was living alone on it, I would have a very, very different life. So I'm incredibly grateful for all these things that people do to ensure that I can be ill whenever I'm ill. You know, whenever you're that ill that you don't have a choice. But every morning, someone with ME wakes up and they've got ME. So whatever else is going on in the world, if there's a coronavirus, if there's someone gets a promotion, someone has a tough time at work, there's a jubilee happening, Dame Vera Lynn is singing on the radio, or Eurovision has been cancelled, or whatever's happening, you wake up and you have ME. It's a constant. The only variable is, how bad is it going to be today? You know, will it be as bad as yesterday? Will it be as bad as it was a month ago? I haven't got out of bed in a year. However it is for you, and everyone's experience with this illness is different. But the one constant there is you wake up with a chronic illness such as ME. And that can be very, very lonely, because other folk are waking up with their issues. And the thing is, we wake up with the same issues. I am as worried and concerned and aware of coronavirus as anybody else. Anything that other people are experiencing, chronic illness people are experiencing as well, but it's all built on a foundation of, but first, I have this illness. And that illness can take you out of the world. You know, it can take you, you can't integrate, you can't participate in the world. And that's incredibly lonely. Because people are there for you. If you're lucky, like I am, people are there for you. But then something happens, you know, and they're doing their own thing, which is obviously what needs to happen. People have their own lives. But you're left with still having this chronic illness. It doesn't go away. It doesn't pass. And I think that's probably for their own health and well-being, people find that very difficult to grasp. That whatever you're doing right now, millions of people are ill with ME. So if you're taking the dog for a walk, someone's ill with ME. If you're going out for a nice dinner, if you're having romantic times with your partner, someone's ill with ME. And they were yesterday, and the day before, and they will be tomorrow. And that loneliness is, you, whenever folk are getting on with normal lives, even if it's, you know, fear of the coronavirus, you can't even participate fully in that because you have this foundation of having a chronic illness, such as ME. So the world genuinely sometimes stops for us, but it doesn't stop for a lot of other people. And that's, I think, quite hard for people to grasp. And it's quite difficult to truly, I think, appreciate just how isolating that is. It's isolation almost of the soul, because physically you don't have a choice but to isolate. But whenever you don't have the capacity to process some days, you know, either the sympathy or the gratitude or the fear of whatever is happening in the world, you just have the fugue of brain fog, and you can't read, can't listen to an audiobook, certainly can't watch TV or play a game, have a conversation. To lift up your phone and check your messages is too much. There's a loneliness in that. And I think, as someone with a chronic illness, it might, I certainly find myself checking this, because we're in a time now whenever people are talking about isolation, loneliness, and well-being. If you've got a chronic illness such as ME, you probably have an additional layer. And if people are going around, and we've seen it, and again, I think I've said a few times in the last few weeks or months now, there's a difference. What Sean said it brilliantly last week, you know, last episode, that whenever people have a day off or they're isolating, it's their choice, but for us, it's not a choice. And I think it's quite important then to maybe acknowledge that difference, because we're lonely, I think, because we're locked in, we're missing. But whenever the rest of the world, and you'd think there'd be there'd be like identification then, but whatever the rest of the world is using words that we use, like isolation, you know, we've been social distancing for years. Actually, I found, and I don't know about you, please let me know, it's not actually that comforting. It almost, people are using words that we're familiar with, but in a different way. Their isolation will end. Their social distancing will end. They will, as soon as they're allowed, be back in the beach and in the shops and in the cafes and in the job places and in the schools. And we won't be. There's an end to their isolation. There isn't necessarily that word chronic for us. Not that you could put a date on it. 1st of June, I'll be back up and out and about. I mean, hopefully I will be, but I know there's people out there who won't be. And I think maybe that's where my loneliness came from last week. Of course, there was sadness in the world happening for my family too. And then, you know, hearing this friend is ill too. I think that's what hit me, is that loneliness that says, y'all are going to go back. We're already hearing, as I record this, countries all over the world, including Ireland, are relaxing slightly, beginning to relax lockdown rules. And people are beginning slowly to go back to garden centres or recycling centres, or maybe be allowed a bit more exercise when they go out. And I think there was a sadness that knowledge as we pass another Emmy Awareness Day. I was acutely aware that there are millions missing who will still be missing when the lockdown ends. And people will be using words that cut us deep, that have led people to great sadness in their lives, like isolation, as a past tense. I was isolating, not anymore, where there'll be people out there with their curtains drawn because they're having a crash. Day, hour, week, month, year. And I think that, to round it up, is what made me sad last week. Well, we can't end it on that, can we? I said I felt that way last week, right? And I don't today, although I feel pretty down now. Oh my goodness, what was the point in turning the microphone on to just upset you and me? Ah, folks, look, I don't feel that way today. But maybe check in on yourself a little bit more often in case you're feeling this way, is what I would suggest. I got a bed of nails. I wanted to talk about my bed of nails. I bought a Shakti mat because it said that it healed everything. And I thought, well, I've got something that's part of everything, so it'll probably heal me too. So in the next few weeks, I'm finally going to give this. It's a bed of nails. It is a handmade, ethically made by a company that only hires or is run by women in India who I believe as an entrant have to have been able to quote Margaret Atwood at length in the interview before being allowed to hand stitch these mats. I'm not being facetious. I chose this company because it's an ethical, tri-ethical company. And what they're doing is actually really good, so I shouldn't be joking. So please don't, if I offended you, I apologize. Again, I could just delete that bit, but that wouldn't be being honest, would it? So I got the Shakti mat. It's a bed of nails. It's a green little mat with 1,000 spikes in it. And you lie on this and you get the sensation of lying on a bed of nails, which is painful. And you do this for 25 minutes. And then, if you're me, you spend another 25 minutes trying to figure out how the heck do you get up off a bed of nails without excruciating pain. The answer is I haven't figured it out yet. You can roll sideways, in which case bits of skin that had not been in contact with the nails for 25 minutes newly get acquainted with the nails. Very painful. You can rock back and forth, but of course you're rocking back and forth on a bed. You lie in this bed of nails and it heals your life. I bought this because I will try absolutely anything. And I'll let you know how that goes. I've also started on the CBD oil. So I haven't been able to give it a proper try. I've heard some people have said, again, it'll change your life. If you have an illness, if you have ME, if you have anything, it'll fix you. I haven't been able to afford it in the place, but a good friend of mine recently made me aware of somewhere that was doing it at a reasonable price. So I bought enough for like a year, because we like to do things proper and scientifically around here. So I'm going to be trying the CBD. So in time, occasionally I will drop in and let you know how the bed of nails maybe slightly less enthusiastic or hopeful about that than I am about the CBD oil. But yeah, I think, isn't it so weird that we have an illness that you have to try these things? I mean, I bought a bed of nails because I read somewhere, and unfortunately I can't tell you where I read it now, but, you know, I read somewhere that, you know, specifically somebody said this is good for ME, you know, so I bought one. And, you know, so I lie in that and meditate every day for 25 minutes. Why? I have an illness. It has a long name, which I'm not in the mood to try and pronounce. Why on earth do I have to buy a freaking bed of nails? As a, you know, it's beyond a Hail Mary, let's be honest here. You know, it's a bed of nails. Why do I have to buy one of those? Isn't it odd? Look at all this rush to action for the coronavirus. You know, where's our rush to action? Why do I have to do these things? And another Emmy Awareness Week passes and I'm still recording this show. You know, I'd love dearly. I enjoy talking to you guys. I really do. Really appreciate hearing back from you and having all the people on the show. But you know yourself, I'd much rather be out there in the world doing something rather than setting my microphone up by a window so I can look out at the trees when I record a show from the inside, indoors. And you gotta hire whispers and alternative theories and, oh, have you tried this? And have you tried that? I have an illness. It's diagnosed. Why is another year passed? And I haven't seen my doctor probably in that year because what's the point? I mean, I ordered a handmade bed of nails from India. Does that seem a bit mad to you? It seems a bit mad to me. You know? Seems a little bit not right. I wish I had the energy to fight more. Yeah, I've got the energy to do this show, and I know, I know this show makes a little bit of a difference. It's not necessarily a lobbying show. I've said that before. There's other shows which has doctors and scientists on. This is a show for people to share experience and gain identification to stop some of that loneliness I spoke of. Because you're not alone. We're all there. And I hope this show lets you know you're not alone. As you're looking out your window at the trees. But I wish I had more energy to kind of say, you know, this doesn't seem right. And to be a pain in someone's arse long enough that things got changed. That's kind of, in a way, sort of, maybe. You know, it's kind of work I used to do. I used to be a professional disruptor. You know? And I was good at my job too, I have to say. I was good at being in a charming way, not in a nasty way. But I was a kind of a professional disruptor. And I was good at it. And I'd love to be a professional disruptor now. I'd love to disrupt. I'd love to, you know, once other people's loneliness ends and their isolation ends, I'd love to be out there in the street saying, hey now, what about this crowd who've been sick for a very, very long time, who've been missing, What about that? But I don't. I don't have that energy. I'd really love to have it, though. I really would. I'd love to be doing more. But for now, I've got this red light in front of me. And, yeah. Still have hope that there will come a time when I can do more. I don't know why. And I guess this is a message for anybody newly diagnosed. We speak to people all the time on this show. And I do ask them, do you have hope? And not one of them. Not one of them. In all those guests. From Jess and John. Niamh and Sean. Katie. Rosalind. Not one of them has said, no, I don't have hope. Not one of them. You think maybe with all those, maybe someone's having a bad day and they're like, you know what? I don't have hope. Because it's been too long and I'm in too much pain and I'm too fed up and nothing's changed. But nobody on this show has said that. And I had a rough week last week, but this week I'm saying I have hope. That's something, isn't it? We are strong, resilient people. And I don't know where I get my hope from, but I don't know where those people got theirs from. Everybody has a different answer, but the answer's always yes. It always begins with yes, I have hope. So for anybody newly diagnosed out there, anybody having a rough time, anybody not looking forward to the day isolation ends for the rest of the world and we stay isolated, take heart, have hope, because there are people out there. When we can't, when we have to face the facts that we can't be the professional disruptor anymore, then someone else has to take over from us. There are people out there doing it. They're doing it tirelessly. They're raising money. They're running marathons. They're lobbying parliaments across the world. And they are aware of our isolation that won't end in a month or two. And those people out there, I'm very grateful to them. You know? I really am. I applaud them. You know? And thank them. And hope to join their ranks one day in the future. But in the meantime, while I'm just here behind the wee red light looking out at the trees, not feeling lonely, because I know out there, you're out there, and you're listening to this, and they're out there, too busy to listen to this, because they're fighting for us, and we'll continue to do so. I'm okay with that today. As new friend of the show, and personal hero of mine, Sean, 14-year-old Sean, said last show, you know, there's a temporary acceptance. And today I choose to temporarily accept my illness. But the resistance is still there. And it's a healthy resistance to join the resistance whenever I'm able. And to believe that I will be able someday soon. As long as I keep using that mat and figure out how the hell to get on and off it without really hurting myself. Anybody got any tips, please let me know. Because this thing, it's really bad. You know, I feel like a backyard wrestler in the 1990s. I'm not enjoying this. Hey ho. Next show, All Being Well. Sinead and Eilish Henneberry, part two of One Family, Four Kids with ME. Please get in touch. Let me know how you're doing. If you have any thoughts on what we talked about today, just get in touch to say hi as well. You know, loads of people do. I really appreciate it. It's great to have connection. Do that on Twitter @zeroallaboutme. On email, it's really not all about me @gmail.com. Both of those are in the show notes. While you're scanning the show notes, you know, maybe hit subscribe and hit the notification button, because you know, these shows are infrequent. Hopefully, though, you know, they're not structured, they're not scheduled, but hopefully they will be frequent, I guess, is the words I'm looking for, actually. And while you're hitting the notification button, while you're hitting the subscribe button, if you're in the mood, if the mood takes you, leave a 5-star review. Thank you very much to folks who do. Share this on your social media. Share this in your ME support groups. I know there's folks who I'm incredibly grateful to on sites like Science for ME who post every episode. I'm not doing it. Someone out there is actually being kind enough to post on their boards every show that I put out. And I'm incredibly grateful to the person doing that. Thank you very much. And I will talk to you all, hopefully, very soon. There's that word hope again. It's genuine, though. It's a genuine hope, and I hope you can feel some today as well. In the meantime, take care of yourselves and each other. Cheers.